This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. It is the day the Lord has made, and I hope we're all rejoicing and be glad in. How about that? Glad in it. Oh, my goodness. All of that to say, it's wonderful to be able to spend this time together Monday through Friday right here on this same station, discussing issues of importance to your life and your faith. Encouraging you to call us today. I've got a toll-free number for you if you're here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'm inviting you to pick up the phone and give us a call today. Matthew Gabinski is waiting to hear from you, and so am I. And we love, love, love knowing when you are a first-time caller. When you are a first-time caller, we are very delighted to be able to ring our welcome bell for you. Yes, we are. And here it is, and I'm ringing it for you right there. That's what it sounds like. And we enjoy setting off that happy little tone to welcome you for your debut here on Women of Grace Live. If you're a first-time submitter out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page, we want to do the same thing. We want to ring that bell welcoming you for your debut as well. So please do let us know that. Jeff Burson is our social media manager and our producer. He will be collecting your questions out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, getting them up on the board for me so that I will be able to address you. So I'm looking forward to having you joining us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Always inviting you to check our website, womenofgrace.com. We have all kinds of amazing things going on. You know, this Friday, myself, a crew from EWTN, 140 pilgrims, some of my very, very dear friends, family members as well, and people that I hope will become my friends through the course of the pilgrimage, we're all heading off to the Basilica Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City, Mexico. We're also going to be spending time at the home of Blessed Conchita. We have all kinds of other wonderful sites that we're going to see in the meantime, all of which will help for us to live that abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ and to share it with others. I know that y'all can't come. I wish you could. Oh my goodness, wouldn't that be a grand thing if every one of us could come together? Why, my goodness sakes, we would need a cavalcade of buses. It would just be amazing. I would love it so very, very much. But we do want to take you with us in our heart. So I'm encouraging you to get out to our website. When you get out there, very number one in the slideshow, you'll see an invitation to you. It says your intentions will be presented to Our Lady of Guadalupe in person. And it says, click here for details. And you click there for details, and it's going to take you to a page that gives you an opportunity to share your intention with us. And there's a beautiful little explanation of this lovely reality of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we really will take these. I have a whole manila folder of them that were given to me this Saturday when I was presenting at Our Lady of Sorrows Catholic Church here in Birmingham, Alabama. And we want to add your intentions as well. So you can do that right through the internet. I do understand from those lovely people that staff Women of Grace that we are getting intentions in. So, you know, if you have a special intention that you would like to make, we're giving you that opportunity, and I will personally be praying for all of those intentions, as well as we'll have a mass that will offer up all of these intentions. The mass will be celebrated by either Father Joseph Mary Wolf, or it will be celebrated by Father Leonard Mary. So all of that being said, they're going to be with us on this beautiful, beautiful pilgrimage that we'll be taking. So do pray for us. I'm asking for your prayers. I'll be mentioning it to you, throughout this week, but not Friday, because I'm going to be on a plane really early in the morning. But all of that being said, I'm looking forward to the opportunity of carrying you at least in my heart and in the hearts of all of those who will be journeying with us. You know, I do pray for you every day. I tell you that. I remember you. I remember your intentions. Oftentimes when you call in and you have a specific intention, you know, I'll take that into my rosary in a very intentional way. But I always have all of you tucked into my rosary. And it's a blessing for me to have that opportunity to pray for you. And I want to do it in this special way as well. And I'm asking you, please, you know, reciprocate if you would. I can use your prayers. Let me assure you, I could surely use your prayers. And prayers for this pilgrimage, for safety, of course, but also too, that we would have receptivity of heart. And I'm going to be praying also that the overflow of these graces, you know, that we're experiencing there would be poured out upon you. So maybe you won't be with us physically, but spiritually you will be. And our God is not confined to time nor to space. And so, you know, the blessings that we're receiving, I'm asking that you receive them as well. So do send those petitions in, of course, if you have them or your intentions, so that we can offer them for you. I want to make you aware of some other things that are coming up. We're going to be having a morning of grace on December the 12th. That's a very special day. That is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We'll be in Mexico City, but there's going to be a morning of grace that's happening here, you know, in the States via the internet. So we invite you to check that out. That's listed in our upcoming events. There's an evening of grace on December the 14th. All of the details are there for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. These are lovely days, you know, and they're not a whole day, really. I think it's a half a day, but it's absolutely beautiful because you have the opportunity to come together, even if it's electronically, with other, you know, women who are interested in living the abundant life and sharing it with others. We say that Women of Grace promotes a sacred sisterhood, not a term that we coined, but a term that was coined for us by participants. And that's what they say happens. So even if you don't have a Women of Grace group going on in your area, let me tell you, first of all, we can resolve that for you. We would love to help you get a group started in your area. But until that time happens, we offer these online opportunities. And we understand from those who participate in them, that they're very meaningful, very blessed that they receive great graces. So we don't want you to miss it. The theme is Advent is a time of waiting and preparing for the coming of the Savior. Mary, the Mother of God, waits patiently for the birth of her Son and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom she has given life. And the grace for this particular morning of grace and then subsequent evening of grace is, I pray for the grace of Marian surrender and anticipation of the Savior during this holy Advent and Christmas season. So as I say, it's being offered two times, December the 12th, 10:30 a.m. to noon. Regional coordinators Mary Dillenbach and Isabel Liberatore will be leading that. I think there's going to have to be a correction made there because Isabel is going to be in Mexico City. So we'll have to take a look at that. But option two, Thursday evening, December the 14th, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. So it's an hour and a half in the evening. What a beautiful hour and a half. Regional coordinators Linda DeGonzaga and Denise McCain. So we encourage you to join us. It's free. But it's beautiful. It's just lovely. We love to do these things. And we really do want to incorporate you into this Women of Grace movement that is taking place not only nationally, but internationally. Lots of avenues opening up for us in the international arena. And we're quite excited about that because we know how important this mission is for this, our day and time. We women have a very, very keen role in aiding humanity and not falling at this particular moment. And I could go on and on about that. Maybe one of these days I'll just give you a big old, you know, discussion about that, but not today. I want to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Don't delay. Call right away. Hey, listen, if you've attended one of our online events, call in. Maybe you'll have someone else join it. God bless you. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are so happy you are joining us today, and I want us to keep Matthew Gubinski busy. Right now, all of the phone lines are open for you, so this is a great time to call in. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can give us a buzzeroo today, and when you do, if you are a first-time caller, I would like to know so I can ring my bell for you. I love to ring those bells. Did you notice I rang a different one earlier? Do you hear that tone? Now listen to this tone. I don't know which you prefer. I kind of like them both. That's why I use them interchangeably. 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here today. Talking about anything that you want to talk about today. Yesterday was one of those lovely monthly Marriage Monday days where Jack Williams, my husband and I, are on the air together, and we were talking about Christmas traditions that were meaningful. We kind of put it into the context of, you know, what traditions did you bring into your marriage from your family, and what traditions did your spouse bring into the marriage from his or her family? So, you know, we can talk about that. I would also like to hear from you if you are a woman and you have attended any of our online Women of Grace opportunities, whether it's a Morning of Grace, an Evening of Grace, or an online study. If you're in our book study, you know, let us know what you think about all of that. We're moving forward into the coming new year. We're already making our plans. Well, we've been busy at that for a little while here. And so, you know, it's very helpful to hear from you on those matters. But I want to tell you something really, really exciting. If you happen to be in Birmingham, Alabama, or in any surrounding area that you can drive to, you know, within a, I say, you know what, like a 5-hour period of time. And here it is. You know, we are EWTN Gift Shop that is on campus at EWTN in Irondale, Alabama, is having a special open house today only until 5 p.m. Right? So if you can get here before 5, that's a grand thing. There's going to be refreshments and there's going to be lots of items for sale for those special people on your Christmas list. They've got books, of course, framed art, statues. I can tell you, I spend a lot of money at this gift shop. I do. And they even have the 12 Days of Christmas ornaments, which are really, really lovely. So don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this open house at the gift shop here on the campus of EWTN until 5 p.m. today. I really hope that you do come by. The gift shop in and of itself is very lovely. Lots of beautiful, beautiful religious articles, holy reminders, as Mother Angelica calls them. You know, there's numbers of lovely statues. I love statues. Have several of them here at the house. In addition to all of that, you know, beautiful religious artwork. I remember a priest saying once that everywhere that you look in your home, no matter where your vision should fall, there should be something there that reminds you to lift up your heart and your mind to our Lord Jesus Christ, lifting it up to God, right? Isn't that what prayer is? Prayer is simply, you know what, lifting up our hearts and our minds to God. Sometimes we forget because our day is so busy, but if you've got holy reminders scattered about the house in different locations, why then it is a reminder. I like to have rosaries. At every place you can sit down, there's a rosary because it's a reminder. We need to be praying our rosary every day. And it's a reminder. Have you prayed your rosary today? You know, and there it is. Hey, it's conveniently placed. Pick it up. Start praying. Very, very lovely. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. My producer is reminding me that we are in the central time zone. So when I say 5 p.m., that's 5 p.m. central. All right. So let's suppose you decide you're going to drive in from Georgia, right? You're in the Eastern time zone. So it's 5 p.m. Central, kind of sort of gives you an extra hour on your clock. Lovely, 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 lovely opportunities for you. Looking forward to hearing from you, 833-288-EWTN. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, inviting you to use the chat feature there so that you will be able to join us. I am trying to get Skype working today, and it doesn't want to cooperate with me. So you might not see my face. That could be a blessing for you. But all of that being said, that doesn't mean that you can't communicate with us. So please do send in your questions or comments. Jeff is going to collect them for you. Matthew's going to answer the phone. And he is answering the phone, and I'm very happy about that. So keep those calls coming. 833-288-EWTN. Angelo from Ohio is giving us a call today, listening to us via Station of the Cross. Hey, Angelo, how are you?
Good, good. How are you today?
I'm very, very well. Thanks for asking.
So tell me. I wanted to share. I was talking with your call screener, and I'm a local writer in Northeast Ohio. I write for a local newspaper doing sports and kind of community features. But It had been a lifelong goal since second grade to put out a book, and I did that this past September. And my goal with that was, you know, it's a weary world, and you can sit back and you can shell up and clam up about it, or you can complain about it, or you could try to put some good content out. So So that is what I tried to do and put something, you know, an inspirational collection of fables out. So that's what I did. But what I wanted to say for advice for people is if you ever wanted to do something like this, you're never going to necessarily have more time. And I thought last year when I made my New Year's resolutions, you know, I have a three-year-old son now and another baby on the way with my wife, and there's never going to be more time or a better year, so you just have to find a way to carve out the time to finally do a dream of yours.
Wow, Angelo, you know, I like it so well, and congratulations to you. I've written books myself. I know what that process is like. I'm sure it's different, a little different for every person, but the fact of the matter is it's an undertaking, you know, and it requires a lot of dedication, and you put your heart and your soul into that book, and it's sort of like, you know, having a baby in its own way, right? So I'm very, very pleased for you, very happy that you did that, and the fact of the matter is, you know, when we go through that effort and we produce something that can lift other people to a greater union or a greater acknowledgement of the blessing of God in their lives, it is a great benefit for everyone. And you're right about something else. I just want to, you know, share this with you. You are right. There is no a better time than the present time. You know, first of all, we don't know how many days the Lord is going to give us, right? So we make use of the present moment. The grace is in the present moment. So when we feel prompted to do something like you have undertaken, and we respond to that, there is a great, huge blessing involved in all of that. So, you know, I am eager to see how God uses your fiat to this moment, the grace that you receive and the grace that others receive through you. So congratulations to you. And, you know, if you send the book up here, we'll run it through theology and see if we could do something with it.
Yeah, that's great. What would I know your call screener was saying, what is the best email to send the information for that?
Yeah, so an email, we actually need the hard copy. So just send
the hard copy, okay.
Yeah, we just need it. Send it to EWTN's address, which is on their website there. You can find it right on the website.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That sounds great. And I wish everybody a blessed Christmas and a happy new year. And thank you for giving me the time. And like I said, if everybody just puts forth a little bit good out in the world, then we'll end up with a lot of good.
Hey, isn't that the truth? You're absolutely right about that. So let's heed that very good advice, everybody, right? Let's go for it. And let's not frustrate the designs of God. You know, this is one of the things I just really want to emphasize. Let's not frustrate his designs. We're in this Advent season. He's come for a purpose. He's given us life at this moment in time for a purpose and a reason. You know, we need to be very, very attentive to what is that purpose and what is that reason? Why did you give us life for such a time as this, Lord? How do you want to use us in this present moment? And so thanks, Angelo, for your call today. You know, best wishes to you in this endeavor, and certainly on the little one that you have and the little one that's coming. I'm very, very happy for you and for your wife.
Very much. Would you mind if I add one last analogy just to kind of hone in on that point?
Sure.
And that is, you know, like our local church, which is St. Gabriel here in Concord, Ohio, which is a wonderful parish run by Father Fred, who's been the pastor for about 30 years there. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a great food pantry that helps out. And I always think, too, you know, sometimes we've given more to the food pantry. Sometimes it's a handful of cans of green beans or something. But I always think if you do your small part, that can of green beans is no longer just sitting on a shelf somewhere. It could be eaten by somebody that needs that meal and that nourishment. Same thing with our gifts, whether that's through written word, broadcast word like yourself, if it's an artistic endeavor. If everybody buys that can of green beans, writes that book, does that radio broadcast, the world would be a better place.
You're absolutely right about that. See, that's it. God prompts with grace. You know, He gives us that little illumination of heart and mind to let us know that He's calling us to a task. God's purposes are all intentional and deliberate. And so if He's prompting us in a given direction, it's for a reason. We might find out that reason in this life. We might have to wait until the next life to find it out. But when we respond to that prompting, it becomes a conflict. conduit, you know, a channel of his life in the world. You know, what is that? That is grace, which is a participation in the divine life. So you're absolutely right. That's why we don't want to frustrate those little promptings. We want to heed them. We want to move forward in them. And you've done that, and I'm sure that it's to good end. And I know that, you know, he's going to use your yes, your fiat, your surrender to the ultimate good. So thanks, Angelo. Really do appreciate it. And thanks for that addendum. I liked it.
You're welcome. Have a great holiday season and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Thank you for calling. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Sometimes we think, you know, that we can't do anything. Sometimes we think that we're helpless. We are not helpless. God has given you life. You're baptized in the faith. If you're in a state of grace, heaven dwells in you, which means that God himself is residing within you. And for that reason, you have a power. Right? And it's not your power, it's the power of God in you. And when we move forward in the power of God, relying not on our own understanding or our own ability, when we move forward in that, great things happen. I'm telling you, they happen, great things. And anything that involves God is a great thing. It's a great thing. So don't frustrate the designs of God. That's all I want to say on that one. But we'll keep talking about it if you want to. Christina out there in Middletown, Ohio, calling in today. We want to hear from you too. 833-288-EWTN. Give us a call. Give us a call. Also, you can use our chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. So Christina is listening to us via Sacred Heart Radio. That tells me she's not too far away, I'm not thinking, not too far away from Cincinnati. Hey, Christina, how are you?
Hi, Jeanette. How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
Pretty good. First of all, I just want to let you know that I'm from Mexico City.
Oh, good.
And I don't know. I've been talking, you know, with my family over there, and I have an uncle that he's a tourist guide.
Oh, yes.
And I mentioned to him, and he says, well, who knows that maybe I will be you know, guiding all the group. And I said, well, I'm telling you, she's a wonderful person. She helped me. I called, sorry.
That's okay, sweetie.
I called about 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And you helped me so much, Janet.
Oh, honey.
And you helped me so much. I was going to very bad time. And I'm very grateful for that.
Oh,
I mentioned
Christina.
That to my family and to my uncle, and he says, well, you know, I hope I have that group, and I'm telling you, I'm gonna try to do my best for the group if that's, you know, I'll be in that position to guide them. But I just want to let you know you are in my prayers, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful time over there with Our Lady. Actually, I live about 15 minutes from the cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Yes, it's about 15 minutes by car. It's very close. And that's one of the things that I want to tell you.
Oh.
And I have a question, Jeanette.
Sure.
I've been assigned as a CRE. This is all new to me.
Okay.
So the lady that used to be the director, mm-hmm. she's a very sweet, sweet lady. And she did so much for our community and for the church. So the thing of it is that this position, it was taken three times by three different people that they just left. They just left. They work for her. They work for the parish. And for some reason, they have to leave. Mm-hmm. But there was a short period of time that they were at a CRE.
Mm-hmm.
So now I come alone. Everything, Jeanette, is new. Everything. Mm-hmm. The community is changing. We are seeing a priest of Hispanic coming to the church, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. But this is a challenge for me because mm-hmm. everything is new. Everything is new. I having an issue with one of the ladies that work for the children, a Catholic kids, that she's great. She's great, but she used to be the CRE. But mm-hmm. now, for some reason, she has to leave the position, but she continue helping us as a Catholic kids. Mm-hmm. But the thing of it is that she still have idea that she can manage and she can give directions without consulting me.
Oh, that's a problem.
That's a problem. And I don't want any confrontations. I want that everybody works for the good of the church mm-hmm. and for the good of the children.
Yes.
And she's wonderful. But the thing is that I don't know how to approach her without getting into confrontation or that she gets a little upset. She's going to get upset, I know, but I don't know how to approach her mm-hmm. and also how to, everything that I see in our community is changing because they used to do everything in English and it's wonderful. But I see the other side, you know, that the parish is trying to work also with the Hispanic community. But mm-hmm. I don't know how to start this without any, you know, especially with the people that works with the children, that is yeah. going to be bilingual books. And yes. I'm trying to translate all those papers so make it easier for the Catholic kids because I have
sure.
so much respect for all of them.
Yes. So let's do this. You hear that music, Christina, and this is a big question, but it's an important question. So if you can hold on the line there throughout the break, we'll come back and talk about this a little bit. And I do want to encourage all of you to give us a call as well, 833-288-EWTN. Perhaps you've been in a similar situation that Christina is in, and maybe you have some good advice too. So give us a call. Let's talk about it. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams. So very happy to be with you today. Eager to hear from you. The phone lines are open. Matthew Gubensky is waiting. I'm waiting. The world is waiting to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Do join us here today as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I'm inviting you to use the chat feature there. We've got all kinds of good things going on. We're going to get back to Christina in just a moment, so continue to hold there, Christina. But I do want to let you all know that our Benedicta Institute for Women is going to be holding an immersive in Florida, on the East Coast, at Our Lady of Florida Retreat Center there, or Spiritual Center, I actually think is the appropriate name for it. Beautiful location right there on the water. Cannot become, I think, a more restive place for prayer and for reflection on what we will be learning through Dr. Donald Wallenfang, who will be presenting that immersive. If you want information on how it is that you can receive a certification in Catholic women's leadership, simply go out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Up there in the purple nav bar, the very first offering there is Benedicta Institute. Click on that. It will tell you a little bit about the Benedicta Institute, its mission, what its purpose is, and it will also tell you about what is coming up. So I am hoping that you will be able to join us there if you have any inkling that the Lord is leading you in this direction. Also with us will be Bishop William Walterscheid, Auxiliary Bishop of the Diocese of Pittsburgh. He will be our spiritual advisor through the course of our time together celebrating Mass. He'll hear confessions. It's going to be just such an exquisite time in the Lord, and I really want for you to come. So I'm eager for you to check it all out right there at womenofgrace.com. Now, Christina called, and she is in a new position in her church. She's the DRE, and the person who was DRE prior to her, while is attempting to be helpful, truly is not being helpful because the reins, you know, at least psychologically, have not been completely turned over to Christina yet. So she's wondering how it is that she can navigate the situation. Maybe some of you have been in that situation, either in the setting of your own parish or within the workplace, and it can be quite hard. And Christina, you know, it can be very frustrating. And as you say, you want to have this person's input, but you also want to be the one who initiates the discussion for the input. And this is the hard thing. And it's so uncomfortable when we're put into these situations. You know, it's one of the things that is always a struggle for me when people place me in a situation that I don't want to be placed in and I have to respond. And that's the situation you're in. You're placed in this situation. You didn't create it, but the response has to come from you. And, you know, I think the best thing to do, and I know that you're doing this because you're a very prayerful woman, the thing for you to do, obviously, is to ask for the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And when I'm in these difficult situations, and I've been in, you know, it's so funny because in the last, I don't know, 6 months, I've been in at least three like this. I always ask that, our Blessed Mother, you know, I want to do everything through, within, and for Jesus through Our Lady, right? The TWIFT principle of St. Louis de Montfort. So I always ask Our Blessed Mother, to gift me with her tonality, her inflection, and her voice as I'm speaking. And if she would prompt her spouse, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten my mind, to choose the words carefully, or frankly, just to let the right words come out, that I would be most appreciative. So obviously, I would suggest that you do that. But it is important for you, as uncomfortable as it may be, to have the conversation. Because your own authority in that position, and make no bones about this. There's no question about this, is what I'm trying to say. When we have been given a position in a setting like this, or in any setting, there is an authority that comes with it, not an authority that comes from a power structure kind of an authority, but an authority that's coming from God Himself. That's the real understanding of authority in a Catholic mindset, made so clear to me by Dr. Monica Miller through one of the Benedicta Institute offerings that I took. Authority, its root word is the word author. And think about author. Who is the author of life? God is. Well, in a certain sense, He shares that authority with us. We see Him sharing that authority with Adam when He allows Adam to name the animals. Animal exerting through God that authority that is His. And so this act of naming, also initiates God's creative power in him. So authority, understood in the Catholic sense, comes from that idea of author. And whenever we author something, we're bringing something to life. Think about someone who, like Angelo, who just wrote a book. He authored a book. He brought that book to life. Think about a conductor in a symphony. You know, he's leading the symphony. Those notes on the page are just notes on a page until, you know, that conductor, using the gift of the authority of those individuals who play the instruments, can bring that symphony to life, hopefully in the way in which the composer first, in his authority, penned that symphony. So you've been given an authority, Christina, by way of your being named by the pastor of the church, who is the authority in that church, not the parish council, mind you, but the priest, having that authority from God himself to govern that flock, he has named you and in a certain sense has incorporated you into the authority given to him by God. It's very important that people that participate in these functions within a church understand this. They're operating underneath the authority of the priest. So you've been given that authority. The person who was, you know, named before you, you said several of them were in that position and they gave the position up. They abdicated that authority. They left that authority behind them. So it's no longer this person's authority. It is your authority. And I think that to prayerfully ask for the guidance that you need and that our Blessed Mother would be actively engaged in this process of discussion that you have to have. You know, I would simply say to the person, you know, I so appreciate, your ongoing concern for the people of the church. I'm grateful for that. It just shows your, if it's a woman, your maternal heart. If it's a man, your paternal heart for the people of our parish. And, I'm glad that I can come to you for advice and guidance when I need it. You've opened that door to me through your offering. But in the future, should I need to seek your wisdom, be assured that I absolutely will. Or phrase it in some way that, gently lets this person know that you're not eager for them to be inserting themselves into the workings of this position anymore because they no longer have the authority to do so, and so that insight, unless you generate the request for it, that insight is likely not to be coming from an inspiration of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit will respect your authority. Does that make sense
to
you?
Yes, and also, yes, that makes sense. And I just want to let you know that the lady who has this program is been such the founder of this program because she put this program so good for so many years, and I'm so grateful because she's the only one that is actually helping me. But when this other individual comes, this other lady, which she's sweet too, she just wants to help. I between the authority that she was before the lady that she built this program and did it for so many years, Janet, that she's so wonderful. And then in the other hand, I have this other person that just left. So mm-hmm. I just want to make clear that the founder of this program is helping me. But I guess in one point she just let me kind of take over the situation, which is where I stuck, but with the other person that she just left the program. And mm-hmm. your words are coming to me in a moment that I really, really need that help. I have the help from this lady that she was, the founder of the program, which she's a very, very good help. Mm-hmm. And your words make me feel more confident. Thank you very much, Jeanette. Always, always, you are really a person that is so nice to listen when you come to tell us by the Holy Spirit. Always, always to listen, our Lord. Thank you very much, Jeanette.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling, Christina. And, it will be so interesting if your relative happens to be our tour guide. That would be so much fun. I hope he'll tell me that. I hope he'll come up and say, hey, I'm Christina's. What is he to you? What is the relationship?
He's my uncle.
Your uncle. Yeah, that would be so much fun. Well, Christina, I'll be tucking you into my prayers. And if you want any petitions going, just get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com, and use the feature there that's for you, number one in the slideshow. And we'll be sure to take them with us, okay?
Thank you, Jeanette, and God bless you all.
Oh, thank you. And God bless you too. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us today. That's 833-288-3986. So we invite you to give us a call today right here. We want to talk with you. Don't delay. We've got some time left. Phone lines are all open. I know this is a busy time of the year. I know you are busy about many things, but take a moment and give us a call. Let's have some holy conversation together today. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Eager for you to use the chat feature there so that we can see what's going on in your world and what is on your mind. You know, as we come to this time of the year, we're talking about being put into difficult situations and circumstances. It is true that sometimes, you know, these times of the year, especially for whatever it is, Christmas time, I think because there is, you know, a lot of emotion that's wrapped up in this season, you know, both spiritually, you know, and emotions that come from you know, from our heart, from our past. And we can be very quick to evaluate what's going on in unhealthy ways. And this can be a time where there's great tension within families, right? This can be a time when there is a stress that's placed on relationships. Everybody seems to want to live these holidays in a certain way, and it does require the gift of dying to self in so many ways. It's interesting. I don't know if you've experienced this, but, you know, in my lifetime, we were talking yesterday on the air about, you know, traditions that you bring into the family, from the family of origin into your married life together. Sometimes that creates tension, you know? But I can remember how difficult it was in my first marriage, you know, to try to navigate being present to two different families. And then within the construct of my family, there were two different families there. So, you know, it became very, very hard to try to determine how do we manage this? You know, and I'll bet you some of you have experienced that same kind of attention. I'll bet you some of you who are newly married are wondering, how are we going to do Christmas this year? You know, oftentimes those kinds of things get navigated a wee bit during the courting process, but not always. And, you know, so that can create tension. Also, too, you know, if there within the family are any kinds of issues that haven't been resolved yet, it seems as though this time of the year they become exacerbated. So I think as we look at this Advent season, we would do very well to give a retrospective, you know, gaze on our past, as well as an introspective gaze into our present, and see what it is that the Lord might be wanting to work out in us through Advent. I mentioned yesterday on the air that, you know, Advent does have a penitential aspect to it. We've forgotten about that. And the emphasis in recent years has been on this waiting and anticipation, waiting and anticipation. And of course, there is that. There's no question about that. Prior to that, the emphasis might well have been too much on a penitential nature. I can't remember. But truly, there's a balance that needs to be struck between those two extremes. There needs to be a type of attitude of heart that is open to the coming of the Christ child by way of you know, that an illumination of heart and mind that helps for us to see what it is in our heart that would prevent us from a deeper experience of his coming, right? A deeper experience of this birthing that we will celebrate. You know, it's an interesting thing too, because all of these mysteries of the faith are held in the eternal moment. And, you know, we well know that the holy sacrifice of the Mass is a representation of Calvary, not, you know, a retrospective gaze to something that's happened in the past and has stayed in the past, but something that is coming forth from the past and happening again. And so I think that if we look at the Christmas liturgy, we can say that, you know, here it is that we have the full theological reality of the word made flesh coming into the world. We celebrate his coming, that the second person of the Blessed Trinity took on flesh for a purpose, and that purpose was his sacrifice. And so on Christmas Day, to me, there is, you know, a beautiful opportunity to enter into the representation, the past becoming present again, of the totality of it. So, you know, when we talk about maybe perhaps gathering around the manger, spiritually, you know, God being outside of time and space, in some way, we can be attentive to that very first Christmas moment. What do we want to bring to that moment? You know, we don't want to bring an attitude of a disregard for our neighbor. We don't want to bring an attitude of resentment and bitterness. We don't want to bring an attitude of lack of forgiveness. We don't want to bring an attitude of hardness of heart. We don't want to bring that. So Advent, in this time of preparation, waiting and anticipation, is also a time for sacrifice. It's a time to let God begin this working in us and working out of us that which would not be appropriate to bring before the cradle of the Lord, you know? So I think that this can be a time of great inner healing. And, you know, I know I'm speaking to some of you right now in a special way, because you've been fretting about how you're going to manage this Christmas. You're going to be fretting about some of the family tensions that exist. You're going to be fretting about how to navigate these moments. I want to encourage you to be the one, who dies to self. I want to encourage you to be the one who makes the phone call. I want to encourage you to be the one who extends that olive branch of peace. I'm not saying it's easy. It isn't easy. It's not easy. But when we are willing to cooperate with the grace of God, to let go of animosity, to let go of hatred, to let go of anger, you know, to let go of the fences that we've carefully constructed, when we're willing to let go of the "I am right and he or she was wrong," when we're willing to let go of that, oh, I can tell you, the flood of peace, the flood of joy, the flood of the grace of God, the flood of the presence of the Christ child will fill you. And, you know, even if that's not accepted by the other party, even if you're rebuffed in a certain sense, perhaps there is an even greater opportunity for union with God, an even greater opportunity with the Christ child, who was laid in a manger constructed of wood, a sign of the fact that at another moment his body would be laid against wood, and he would suffer the deprivation of acknowledgement of who he was. Just perhaps in a way that can be paralleled with the deprivation of not having that olive branch received. It isn't up to you to in some way bend the will of the other. It is only up to you to bend your will. And in bending that will, to bend the knee before the one who is the Savior of the world, in union with him, in his coming, and in his passion, and in his death, and in his resurrection, and in his ascension. So just some words to think about as we make our way through this time. You know, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you, even in this moment? And are you willing to at least open your heart a little way, a little way, so that the light of the one who is coming soon can flood you with that eternal light that comes by way of the one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I hope so. I hope so. And remember something. As I speak these words to you, I speak them to me as well. We're all in this thing together. Let's do the best we can with each other, for each other, by the grace of God. All right, friends, we are going to be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is going to be with us. It's going to be a wacky Wednesday right here. We look forward to receiving your calls. Till tomorrow, God bless you now. Bye-bye.